For our scripture reading tonight, if y'all will, let's turn first to Matthew 10. I got two scriptures I want us to look at. Matthew chapter 10. We're going to read a story inside of a story here. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 9. One page to the left. Matthew chapter 9. Beginning verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. There's a new paragraph begins here. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned about, and when he saw her, said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels, that the people making a noise, and he said to them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now look over in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Verse 43. We read in the beginning of verse 40, that was Jairus, that ruler that fell down at the Lord's feet, and his daughter was plagued. And you see in verse 42, for he only had one daughter, about 12 years of age. She was only 12 years old, and this woman had an issue of 12 years. She's only 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But he went, and the people thronged him. Verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched and stopped. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, Who touched me? Everybody's touched you. And Jesus said, Somebody. Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Let's pray together. Father, don't leave us to ourselves tonight. All in this room have an issue of blood a long time. Maybe, if you're pleased, Lord, somebody, whosoever, somebody, will receive your virtue tonight. Somebody may touch the hem of your garment. Somebody may have a need, and somebody may have the faith to look to Christ alone. What a blessing it is, Lord, when we see you work through your Spirit and your people. When a new creation and old things are passed away and all things become new inside of your people, inside of us and those around us, Lord. What a blessing it is to witness. Thank you for that. Thank you for the brethren that you've put new creations in that we know around this world, and you've kept faithful. They're precious to us, Lord, as our Redeemer's precious to us and Him living in them. Thank you for this hour, Lord, and be with us as you're pleased. It's because of your Son, His namesake, His glory's sake, that we ask these things. Amen. All right, brethren, if you will, let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Title of my message is Sick to Healed. sick to healed. This woman was sick, and she was healed right then. Right then. And what a picture this is for us. This is a true story. This happened. Matthew, as we've read, and Luke has recorded it, and here we're going to read of Mark recording it. It's Mark 24 is where we're going to start. And this is a story of that woman with the issue of blood. Here in Mark 5, verse 24, we read, "And Jesus went in with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." You see no celebrities that get out of a sports champion or a rock and roll star. And for the generation I'm speaking to, the British invasion. The Beatles come off that airplane, and them teenage girls just swarmed them, didn't they? Do you remember that? I remember that on TV. I wasn't there. I wasn't alive then. Maybe some of y'all remember that. They thronged him like a celebrity walking through town just to take a picture with him and touch him and say that they were there. And you know what? I met a famous comedian one time in an airport, and I just gave him a thumbs up. I didn't want people knowing who he was and bother him. He was sitting there reading a paper. And he said, "Thank you, thank you." I wished I went and got a picture with him. And I thought, if I got a picture with him, I would want to show you, wouldn't I? I would want to show you that picture. Why? Because I met the famous person. Not because look how nice he was to me. Look who I've been hanging out with. That's the problem, isn't it? These people thronged him. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. There's a lot of people. And thronged him. And a certain woman, not any old woman, a certain woman, somebody, which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's how long she's had it. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She ended up worse than she... Are you better off now than you was 4 years ago? Don't answer that question. But so, if you've been going to church for that long, and somebody said, "Well, now I got to wait and think about that." Well, then you ain't. Is my marriage better now than it was 4 years ago? I'd better say yes, hadn't I? You fellas enter into that? You ladies ought to say yes, too, if there's any of you out there. She was none the better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, "And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole.'" And straightway, right then, just like them apostles, straightway left the boats. They left their nets. Matthew straightway left custom, didn't leave a continuity book behind. He didn't count the money. He just went where God told him to go. Straightway, just the same manner, "the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." This issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time to be sick, isn't it? We're just a few of us here. You've been sick a long time, ain't you, buddy? Long time. That's a long time. She's been sick a long time. But you and I, everybody in this room, we've been sick longer than 12 years. All of us are. This physically speaking of her illness. But we have a spiritual illness, don't we? We have an issue of blood. Everybody on this earth has a problem with their blood. It's got a bad heart. It's got bad blood pumping through them. We're all born sick, and we're all born dying. This woman was unclean. It's a picture of being unclean. And this was against the law for her to even be around anybody. She couldn't be around him, and she went and touched God. Went and touched his garments. But what about us? Can we relate to this woman? This is real important. This is part of, I'll touch on at the end. This is part of a good gospel message. You know what part of a good gospel message is? I can relate to it. I can see myself, not see somebody else, not see what so-and-so ought to be hearing. I can see me in this woman. Can you see yourself in this woman? Can you? She's been sick a long time. We have spiritually. Psalm 51 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. From a moment of conception was corruption." People get real mad you tell them that. Before you even come into this world to speak lies, you's already corrupted. And that's what they got mad at Christ for, wasn't it? Yeah, we're not children of sin. Yeah, we are. We come into this world that way. Sin's not just an action. It's not something that we just do. It's our nature. It's our instinct. It's the fiber of our being, our DNA. And we're all born with that nature. And it's not just a part of us. It's not, well, there's a little bit, just a scope of indwelling sin within me. It's all of me. And if God doesn't convince us of that, we're goners. You're going to be in eternal damnation. If we think there's a little bit of good in us and we found God and did him a favor, you'll go into judgment and you're going to have a bad day and a bad eternity. I'm telling you that right now. God sent me to tell people that. Don't die thinking you did something good. Don't do it. He has to convince us that. We don't have to teach our children in any culture, no matter where you go on this earth, you don't have to teach somebody in the Amazon how to lie. They just do it. That's our nature. And you don't have to teach anybody to go away from God and to quit going to church or doing whatever, or go to a church that you like, that suits you, that their business is a booming and everybody's happy without the sons of thunder there. We don't have to do that to abandon his truth, to abandon the truth about us. Psalm 58 says the wicked are estranged from the womb. We're separated from God as soon as we show up on this ball. And they go astray as soon as they're born speaking lies. Our issue of blood goes back further than natural conception. My issue of blood didn't start in the fall of 1979. It goes all the way to the garden. And if you get that wrong, the whole foundation's messed up. You can meet God thinking you did something good for him. He'll say, get away from me. I don't know you. This is serious. This is serious. Paul tells us in Romans 5, whereas, as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin. That's when folks started dying. Nobody died before that. So death passed upon all men for all sin. All of us going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Well, there were several that was translated, right? Did Enoch go up to God? They didn't physically die, did they? And that last day, right, we don't know what's going to happen. Twinkling an eye, Lord comes. I saw some strange clouds the other day. I said, it kind of looks like a scroll. I got excited. Maybe this is over. I can go home. And somehow I'll be translated to him to be like him. I don't know what that's going to be like. But I'll tell you, when it was appointed a man to die, I was in that garden, that's for sure. There's a bifocal text there. And everybody died there. And we died in our conception. We denied the first words we spoke. Baby comes out crying. Why? Because it was warm and cozy and had everything provided for it. Now it's on a cold table and some stranger's on it. Then they lie. They cry when they don't need a diaper change. They don't need a bottle. They just want you to pick them up. As soon as you pick them up, they quit crying. That's just a proof of what grows worse and waxes worse and waxes worse until we get just so callous to it that we see this nonsense going on in our communities, or we see the nonsense going on in the mirror while I'm shaving, and I say, well, that's just how it is. There's no conviction of sin. That's God abandoning a society. It's a shame. Term over reprobation. Physical death comes upon all mankind physically because we're sinners, because we're dead spiritually, and that rock consumes the whole body. We haven't loved God with all of our heart, soul, mind as our neighbors, as ourselves, and we all are selfish with them. What's in it for me? We're all looking out for number one. Well, if your whole family was to get wiped off earth, well, what am I going to do? What about me? Job just lost his whole family. Maybe not pick on him and ask him what he did wrong. Let's tell him about God's mercy. And he's on his throne and God did this. He's going to teach us something. He's going to show you Christ at the end of this. That's a little bit better than picking on Job, isn't it? We're selfish. Paul said in Romans 3:19, now we know that all things whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that under the law. That, here's the reason we have that law. Every mouth may be stopped, shut up to sin, and that all the world may become guilty before God. All's guilty. There's none that does good. No, not one. I can convict a person under a law for something evil. You can't argue with the fool. They'll bring you down to their level and beat you with experience. You can't talk sense into somebody that's crazy. But if you can have a sane person, I could sit down with a law, either God's law or man's law, and I could explain, this is what happened. This is what you did. This is what the law said. Now, what you did's wrong. And they can say, you're right. I'm wrong. I can, a long enough timeline, convince people what you did was wrong. And they'll probably apologize for it if they're grown up. Say, what I did was wrong. I'm sorry. But you know what I cannot convince people of? I can't do it. The source of the evil. The source of wrong. Their wicked hearts. That's God's work. Only the Lord can do that. It has to be according to his word as his word goes forth. But he'll convince them. And you know what his prophets did of old? Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Job said, I abhor myself. I hate myself. I despise myself. I see what I am. I see who he is. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. I cannot speak. I love this. I saw this yesterday. Habakkuk said, when I heard, everybody's happy. We did cartwheels and had cake. No. He said, when I heard, that's what this woman heard. When I heard, my belly trembled. That's a fast. I can't eat. My lips quivered at the voice. Jaws quivering. Rottenness entered into my bones. I found out my bones are rotten, all the way to the core, the marrow. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. If God shows us what sinners we are now, that's a blessing, instead of finding out how bad we are in that day of judgment. When he cometh upon the people, unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. We've already been arrested. If he showed us that. I have a heart problem. And it's evidence in my blood. The doctor can take, right now, go to a doctor. And they'll take your blood, and they'll tell you what's going on. Well, this is too high, and this is too low, and this is within the right range. And they can give you a good timeline, especially insurance companies, because they're betting on you. They can say, within this six-month period, we have an 85% success rate. We can tell you when you're going to die if you keep doing what you're doing. They take the blood and see that. They can see the problems. Well, we have a corrupt heart, and that's pumping corrupt blood all through us. So did this woman. It's been there a long time. Long time. So look at Mark 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She had not sold everything she had to try to buy that field or that pearl great price, had she? Not yet. She spent every penny she had to not die. Keep me from dying. And she went to every place she could go to find where that somebody keep her from dying. And it kept getting worse. She was the worst for it. She was worse off. Those false prophets could not help her, only harm her. That's what the text says, doesn't it? She had suffered many things of many physicians and made worse. Jeremiah told us, the Lord told Jeremiah, behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, their flippant attitudes. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all. Kevin Thacker says that a whole lot. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord said it. Lord, I'm just, remember? I'm a remembrancer. Remember what he said? What physicians had she been to? She was doctor shopping. Did you know that? Do you get that? Do you go to a doctor and they don't tell you what you want to hear? So you go to another doctor and they don't tell you what you hear? And then you go to another doctor. You've been to a bunch of doctors, Bob. This woman's a religious hobo, bouncing all around. She went to Dr. Law. She saw Sidon. She said, I can't climb up there. I just got worse. Physician ritual and ceremony. She was baptized, and then she was baptized, and then she was baptized again. She never was baptized into Christ because she never had heard of him. Worse. Morality, MD. Live a cleaner life, but rather grew worse. She went to that pharmacy full of sacraments. She went to the Lord's table, but rather grew worse. She took that bread and that wine, and it went into her mouth, and it went into her stomach, and it went out into the draw, and didn't touch her soul one bit. Didn't help that blood. She went to the chiropractor that held special meetings. That can pop you back in line. But rather grew worse. That's what, I don't know if that's common anymore these days. I'll ask my children when I get home, when we talk about the message. That's what my pastor sends me a message, some, and I listen to it, and then that way we can talk about it after. And then I listen to something, or Kimberly listens to something, she'll send me a message, I'll send her a message, and we can talk about the message after. That's why we do that, but I'll talk to my children after. But whenever I was a kid growing up, if you did something bad, a teenager did something bad, the parents said, I'm taking you to church. Taking them to a doctor. Is that going to do them good? Going to make them worse. Well, at least, now, I got the boldness to say what God says, so hear me. People say, well, at least it ain't the right church, but at least they're going to a church. No, it's not. That's not good. Well, at least they're doing heroin and not cocaine. Are you crazy? What in the world? You wouldn't say that, would you? That's just so. Them doctors ain't helping, making it worse. A sanctification surgeon will cut out this and cut out that, but rather grew worse. A holistic doctor, but grew worse. Our problem isn't the physician. You hear me on this too. Those false preachers aren't our problem. Now, that we went to. Can't blame them. Lord will deal with that one day. He'll deal with them. Either they'll have to give an account. He said, why'd you lie on me? He'll deal with them. But that problem's with us. I'm telling you, there's a big problem in me if I say, well, I went there and they were wrong, and I went there and they were wrong, and I went there and they were wrong, and then I went to the right place. That's I. That's a touch of leaven, isn't it? Enough to kill you. It's so. Now, if the Lord broke me and I was a problem, and just like them, we're all dead, and he drew me to him, and I came after I heard, and he did it all. God's worked in somebody. You're splitting hairs. No, I'm not. I care for people's souls. You know, I don't want to be right. I used to, then God saved me. I want to be accurate. I got choked up the other day driving down the road. Millions of people going up and down the road and nobody cares, and they're about to meet a holy God. Spitting in his face and saying, oh, I love him. God's love. Love, love, love. Somebody's got to warn them. And like that message I sent out to Henry, some of you men, that's us. It ain't me. You can't hire somebody to go do this for you. We preach Christ and him crucified. There's a finger and a toe and an ear and a hair and an eyeball. That whole body's consumed everything, isn't it? If we're part of that body, we're a part of that body. I'm jumping ahead, but his blood's running through us now, not this corrupt blood. What happened to this lady? Look at verse 27. Mark 5:27. She's in bad shape. Everything she did was wrong. When she had heard of Jesus. How was she going to know about Jesus if nobody told her? You can't worship somebody you ain't never met. Somebody, a man had to come tell her. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, touched his garment. She heard, came, touched. Heard, came, touched. Who was that preacher? Doesn't matter. The man don't matter, the message does. What providence made her come? What was it that, who cares? She came. If her plane crashed or her donkey died or whatever, that's the Lord's business. She came. She heard, he sent word. She heard, she came, the Lord drew her, and she touched him. Did she touch him with her left hand or her right hand? It don't matter, she touched him. She heard, she came, she touched. And you just think what's going through her mind. That's the Son of God right there. He came to save sinners. That's what I am, through and through. And I'm going to touch him. If I could just touch his garment, I ain't just... Who cares about this body? I could die right now and go be with him. I'll be made like him. Verse 28, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She didn't say I'm going to be cured of my issue of blood. Whole. That's what we need. We don't need help. We need made whole. The throngs touched him. A lot of people touched the Lord, didn't they? You reckon Mary probably had something to do. She ended up having a bunch more children. She probably had a babysitter. Come hold him. Simeon touched him. A lot of people touched him. But those that plucked out his beard touched him too, didn't they? A lot of people touched him. But this woman, with the issue of blood, sick on the inside, she touched him and it did something for her. How come all those people laid hands on him and sought to lay hands on him and they thronged up to him just to touch him and rub up against him and those that plucked out his beard and those that held his arm down while they nailed those nails through his hands. And those that touched him when they ripped his garments off and spit in his face and mocked him just like we did before he found us. How come them physically touching his body didn't do anything for him? What's different between this woman and everybody else that touched him? I'll tell you, she had a need. Everybody in that crowd had a want. They wanted their bellies full. They wanted their home to be happy. They wanted their children to be good. And we wanted something to make us feel fuzzy on the weekends. This woman had a need, not a want. She's going to die. Need. She had a hunger. She's hungry. She needed bread of life. She was dying of thirst. She needed the fountains of living water. She had a need. The other ones had a want. It might have been slightly inconvenienced if Christ wasn't there. But yeah, it's nice he's here. This woman had to have it. And there was belief. There was belief there. There was faith in this woman. And it's not just agreement. It's not mental ascension that this is accurate. And this is, you get a lawyer degree. So read this, and then here's our doctrines, what we believe. And I said, oh, that's accurate. It's not mental agreement to it. It's heart dedication. He worked in her. He said something, and she believed him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. She said, I need rest. I believe him. He said, you ask me of waters, and I'll give you. You'll never thirst again. Give me that water. I believe you. I believe, not like this is right. A human said, no, God said that, and he's right. It's going to come to pass. He's going to have a kingdom. Remember me when you get in that kingdom. And there was an irresistible call. She heard, and she came. Two of these accounts say she came from behind. What's that mean? Humbly. She came low and from behind, not even worthy to look him in the face. She had a personal connection. She touched him. It ain't something seeing from far off. This is a personal experience. Not just something observed, not something agreed to, not just she said that, well, he said he's a holy one, and I think that's right. She touched him one-on-one. And she knew if she could just be next to him and touch him, even all the way down at the bottom of the hem of his garment, down at the seam, she would what? Be made whole. She didn't know what she's saying yet. She don't even know. We don't know. We that heard him and came and touched him, and he's touched us, we don't even know what that means yet. Paul said there's not even words in our language to describe it. I can't even tell you. It's going to be wonderful because he's wonderful. Everyone else didn't have a need. They didn't have the faith, and they didn't have the desire to be with the Lord. And she wanted to be just like him. Verse 29 says, and straightway she touched him. She heard, she came, she touched. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You have that plague. I have that plague. Have you been healed of it? Well, I don't know. Paul said, you don't know how God lives in you? If ain't been a working at it, you hate what you're hearing, or you love what you're hearing? You desire to see Christ glorified and his name go forth in your family and your friends and your neighbors and the community and everything else, be a light in this community? Or we say, well, we still gonna need the bushel. It's our light. As long as I'm took care of, I'm good. That ain't the heart of Christ. It ain't. She knew straightway. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press. They pressed up to him. Everybody else is touching him. This one's different. Certain woman. And said, who touched my clothes? You didn't even touch my shoulder. You didn't touch my wrist. You touched my clothes. Somebody touched my clothes. And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Who touched me? Oh, everybody's touching you. Luke said, somebody. The Lord said, somebody touched me. Isn't that fabulous? The Lord Almighty came to this earth in human flesh to save somebody. He did. And somebody is going to hear. And somebody's going to be drawn. And somebody's going to touch him because he first touched them in the heart. Through that message. And somebody's going to be made like him. Do you want to be that somebody? Do you have an interest in that? God has an elect. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's one of you. You're hearing it right now. Is he touching you? That melts your heart. They said, who are we going to say who it is, Lord? The multitude's thronging you. Why did the Lord ask who touched him? You compare those scriptures with scriptures, right? He said in Luke 8, "For I perceive that virtue's gone out of me." Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? He knew who it was. But he spoke at Lazarus' grave and he said, "I'm said all this, praying to the Father so you could hear it, and that way you know what happened." And then on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Not that he knew why. He knew the Father. No man seen the Father but the Son. But he was saying that for our benefit. And here he says, virtue went out. We can learn something from that. Virtue went out. She was not virtuous. You get that? He was. And if any sinner's ever going to have any virtue in them, it's going to come from him. That's it. If the Lord saves us, there's going to be a public confession of what we are and who he is now that we've finally heard him and what he has completed in and for us. There's something happening in us. There's a new creation in there. But we ain't the same. That fellow got hurt one time. They called on the radio and said, "How is he?" And they said, "Well, he's different." Most of what's left of him's doing okay. There's something changed. Something's different. Completed in us and for us. The Lord's done all of it. And it's his glory. We identify with him in public baptism. Verse 32 says that he looked round about to see her. He knew who it was that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling. How are we to come into God's house and worship him with fear and trembling? She's worshiping. Not with haughtiness and not with the attitude of authority and knowledge and understanding, you know, high-minded and all this and demanding. Fear and trembling. Contrite heart, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She came to him. She came to him. She told the truth. She didn't come to his mother. She didn't come to one of the disciples. She didn't go to an expert, somebody that's been doing this for 20 years. She went to the bishop of her soul, the shepherd. She went to Christ, and she told him the truth. She said, I was unclean, and you made me clean. I heard about you. You sent word to me, and you drew me. I came. You brought me. And I touched you. I want to be like you because I love you. I hold her hand because I love her. I hold these children's hand across the street or something because I love them. I want to touch them. And I touched you. She told the truth. John said that as plain as he could in 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness. All the bad things I've done in my life. I'm sin. The noun, the feminine noun, just like a bride. That's all I am. And Christ is all and in all, and I'm nothing and in nothing. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar. Well, I ain't done everything bad. I've done some good. What you're saying is, God's a liar. Now, we don't need to define our terms. We need to know what God defines his terms, right? Moses had to, he got mad. He said, "I got to fetch your water for you." That's my job. I've read a lot about it since last month. I took it serious, the charge of a pastor. And the requirements of it. I've listened to a lot of messages on it. And it's my job to ask God to give me green pasture for you to graze on. And as he's with me, I can do that. And it's my job to give you living water. And if he's with me, I can do that. I cannot make you eat it, and I cannot make you drink it. He's teaching me that. I know that, but I'm learning it. I'm about to understand it. You can go take all the classes you want in hypothermia, and you'll know something about it. But whenever you get in that ice water, and then all of a sudden you start getting warm, you understand it. God has to make us understand these things and make our hearts have to have it. He does. This woman came. His people shall come. And his enemies are going to run away. Now, how he defines things. Jacob said, "Well, I love Leah less. Are we carnal? Do we like one preacher over another preacher? Well, I like this. This is my favorite one. Or do we like one person and one brethren over another one?" Paul said that's carnal. And so I love all of them. I love them, but I just love them less. God said Jacob hated Leah. We need to be worried about his words. All those that are given to him of the Father are going to come to him, period. They're going to come. They're going to hear. Somebody, a preacher's going to be sent to them. They're going to hear, and they're going to come, and they're going to be touched. I tell you that. They're going to change. They ain't going to be the same. But other ones are going to run away. They said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Get us away from this austere man. If we are made to fall on our faces with our sin ever before us, knowing who we sinned against. Do you know how important that is? Who'd you sin against? Who'd I sin against? Almighty God. I didn't run over my neighbor's dog. This is, God, wake us up. This is important. If he shows us what we are, we're made to see that. And in fear and trembling, we come to him and beg for mercy. They're like a dog. Their tail tucked between our legs. What's the result of that? What's the result of God working in somebody? Look at verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, he didn't call her harlot, did he? You believe that? This unclean woman breaking God's law in the very presence of God. It says that in Deuteronomy. I can't, if you're unclean, you have to live in another place, can't be around people. He calls her daughter. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. You could substitute that with, because it's the faith of Christ. Your Christ has made you whole. Your King has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This woman's problem, she's covering her own blood. That's all of us. Until we meet the true and living God, we're trying to cover ourselves in our own blood. Blood! We need another's blood. Our blood ain't worth nothing. I'll pay it in a pound of flesh. Well, my flesh ain't worth nothing. I'll give you a kidney. My kidney ain't worth nothing. Why'd she touch him? There's a need. There was God-given faith. That's a gift of God. That believed Christ would do what he said. That's it. And there in Romans 4, speaking to Abraham, says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He wasn't unbelieving. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's a good place to start, strong in faith, isn't it? Honoring God in it. That's the Lord's doing. If my house is foreclosed on tomorrow, that ain't my house, it's his house. Why am I mad? Didn't God do it? Now, I probably got some lessons to learn in it. Take some online classes how to use a calculator, but the Lord did it. If it come to pass, it's his will. It honors Christ, doesn't it? He gives glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He said he's going to do it. I don't know how it's going to come to pass, but I believe him. Do you believe him? That means the Lord touched her first through the preaching of the word, and then she heard, she believed, she came, and she touched him. Maybe there's a somebody here tonight. If you have an issue of blood, Lord, make thee whole. You got a true problem, but you got to be plumb sick. That's the, just like those lepers, before they're declared clean, they had to be plumb covered in leprosy. If there's a spot of decent flesh left, nah, you ain't cleansed yet. If that's you, your issue of blood's already been taken care of because he's made you hear it, made you believe it, and made you come to him. What makes a good gospel message? If it's personal. I got this from Henry. If I could see myself in that woman, not see somebody else or not see how this could characteristically come to pass in the theological doctrines that we hold, me, I'm that woman. If it's based on the Word of God, not on what I think or what you think, or, well, that's what we always did. That's what everybody always said. Grandma told me that. Based on what God said, we just read it. All three accounts. If it put mankind in their place, well, before I showed up, you said the people in this country need to hear that we're sinners. If we're put down low and Christ is exalted, that acceptable bloody sacrifice, remember what that word is? Propitiation. If he's been the this sacrifice, God ain't going to kill us. That's what Manoah's wife said. The Lord ain't going to kill us. He took a sacrifice. He accepted it already. If we're put down low and Christ is exalted and he gets all the glory in the whole thing, he's the virtuous one and the virtue has to come from him. The children of God will be happy about that. They'll rejoice in it. They'll say, hey, that's right, buddy. Amen. That's me. That's what they'll talk about after. That's me. That's it. That's what it says. And he said he's going to call her daughter. Can you believe that? Maybe I'm a daughter. I want to be his daughter, don't you? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, holy and reverend is your name. Lord, may your heavenly kingdom come just as this earthly kingdom's ruled as you see fit. Give us Christ today, our living bread. And Lord, make us forgiving as Christ has forgiven us. Make us faithful servants as he was the faithful servant, your elect. Lord, we desire to be made like him wholly, completely. What a magnificent Redeemer you've provided for us, for wretched sinners, a great and mighty Savior and King. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this gospel. Thank you for sending somebody to tell us of it, of Christ. Thank you that he's touched us in our hearts and melted us, and that we're made one with him. Lord, save your people as you promised you will, and come quickly. It's because of the glory of Christ we ask these things. Amen.